On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have made it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to some degree. Because I remember when all of this went down and I came to the realization that I wasn't going to be doing shows in the studio for quite a while. We had all of this chaos in the world of sports and our society, you name it. I remember saying to Mike Fliegelman, the day everything shut down from a sports standpoint, wow, we're going to have a whole lot of quiet until we hit draft day 2020. And sure enough, draft day 2020 is upon us. And listen, I don't want to get into what the next couple weeks and what the next couple months may be because it's far too depressing to think about because who the hell knows? What I do know is later on tonight, all of those feelings that we are used to, the thrill, the excitement, the anxiety, the stress when it comes to sports-related matters, sports-related topics, it'll be there. And I know for yours truly, anxiety, my friends, might be at an all-time high considering I have had this date mapped out in my calendar for months going back to last football season. In fact, I remember sitting at the Empire City Casino, having a beverage with our buddy Tommy Lugauer as we're watching the Jets and the Browns play Monday Night Football. I did the show that day with Mark Melissus, and we didn't want to drive during the game because, you know, it was a local team. I didn't want to be in the car. I said, perfect. We'll grab a pop, grab something to eat, watch the game there, and away we go. And I remember watching everything unfold, not only with the Jets getting shellacked in that game, had Cleveland, I was very happy about that. But hey, that's a story for a different day. The notification comes down regarding the Dolphins trading Minkah Fitzpatrick. And it was like a holy smokes moment. The Dolphins are going to have three first-round picks in the 2020 draft. Now, we all thought it was going to be out in Las Vegas. We all thought there was going to be all this sort of pomp and circumstance, the Bellagio fountains, a spectacle unlike any other in the history of the league as far as the draft and everything that will come with being in the city of Las Vegas. That's all out the window now because of the harsh realities of COVID-19. But thankfully, the draft will get going later on tonight. And it's a very intriguing one. Aside from the fact that we are thirsty for sports coverage, that we are thirsty for live news, a lot of these questions, a lot of these smoke screens that have been thrown out every which way over the last 2 or 3 weeks are finally going to come to the forefront. We are finally going to have the answers on what a bunch of these particular teams are looking to do. Now, I got news for you, folks. Picks 1 and 2, there ain't going to be a whole lot of drama. You could basically write those in ink right here and right now. Joe Burrow will be the number one pick by the Cincinnati Bengals. He's coming off one of the best regular seasons in the history of college football as far as an individual and a team standpoint. Winning a national title, winning a Heisman Trophy, throwing 60 touchdown passes in the regular season. I mean, who wouldn't want to be Joe Burrow right now? You know, I was watching his Q&A with the very, very talented Taylor Rooks, my old colleague over at SNY. And Joe Burrow's just cool. I mean, there's no other way to slice it or dice it. I mean, you see him in the locker room after the game with the victory stogie. I mean, there's just there's an allure. There's an appeal with this kid. I find him very, very likable. And I will be rooting for Joe Burrow to have great success with the Cincinnati Bengals. That's his no-brainer number one pick as you are going to find. The number two pick is going to be Chase Young. The Washington Redskins have hired a defensive-minded head coach in Ron Rivera. They are going to make a strength that much greater and that much deeper by adding, hands down, the best defensive player in this draft. And I know for some, they've tried to diminish Young's dominance in college. He's got all the makings of being another Bosa brother. A guy who's going to be just a physical freak, a physical force on a defensive line. And the harsh reality for the Giants, who we will get to momentarily, is that Chase Young, I believe, is going to be a thorn in your side in the division for years to come. I think he is going to be a top-notch defensive player in the league. Okay. That's the easy part of this draft. Where this draft is really going to start, where this draft is really going to get juicy, it's number three with the Detroit Lions. And based upon all of the rumors and the reports that you read about and you heard about earlier in the day, the Detroit Lions and the Miami Dolphins are probably going to be making a trade. It looks like the Lions know they can get the corner they want later in the draft. I think more than likely it would be at pick five. And it looks like the Dolphins are moving up. Now, I don't understand for the life of me the idea of the Miami Dolphins trading up to go take an offensive tackle. Now, I would prefer that for what it is worth over the Dolphins making a monumental mistake and reaching and taking a guy like Justin Herbert. But man, you were in the position that you were in last year where you basically tank away the year, even though you don't tank because you win five of the remaining nine games. You had all this draft capital and you're going to make a trade for an offensive tackle and give up the fifth pick and just hope and pray a quarterback's there for you with your second pick. I just think that is a bold, bold strategy and one that will be very much open to second guessing across the National Football League. But nobody knows, quite frankly, what the Lions and the Dolphins will officially do. So if the Dolphins end up making that trade, they go up to three. Is it for Tua? Is it for Herbert? Is it to go in front of the New York Giants to get the tackle that they want? All of these possibilities, as far as I'm concerned, have to be considered. So Miami, in many ways, I'm not trying to bore you guys with this. It's the reality of this draft. They are going to be a major power player. They are going to be a team that really has a profound impact on what you are going to see. Because when you got three first-round picks, when you got two other second-round picks, and you're picking in the top five, and then you're picking again in the top 20, you can dictate the action. So whether or not they make that move up is definitely worth watching. And if they make the move up and do not take Tua, that will be something that I believe is second-guessed for a long, long time. Especially if we see Tua end up with the Chargers with the sixth pick in the draft, or we see him in Jacksonville with like the ninth pick in the draft. Or maybe, worst case scenario, he ends up with the New England Patriots. But the Tua Herbert subplot and who goes first, that is really going to take shape with that third pick, fifth pick, sixth pick, right around those lines. And I would bet Dolphins and Chargers end up with quarterbacks in the first round. Where Miami ends up with a quarterback, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I really don't know what to believe at this point. But there's no way, as I've said throughout these last few months, you can make a case that you'd rather have Justin Herbert on your team than Tua. You can't make that case. If we're talking game film, if we're talking performance, if we're talking what you have seen with your own eyes, you can't sit there and tell me you'd rather Justin Herbert be the pick. Because clearly, if that's your belief, you were not watching the same college football games that I was watching. You just weren't. Okay. That's the big storyline from a national standpoint. Tua and Herbert. And who goes first? Now, that potential trade with the Lions and the Dolphins could have ramifications on what the New York Giants are going to do. I have advocated for months about the idea of taking Isaiah Simmons, but I am basically resigned to the fact that Isaiah Simmons will not be the pick and that the New York Giants are going to take an offensive lineman in the first round. If you look at the Vegas odds, they're minus 300 to do so. The smoke that was coming out of Ian Rappaport regarding the Dolphins' interest in a tackle to get ahead of the New York Giants leads you to believe that one of those guys is the target of Dave Gettleman. Who? Is it Wirfs? Is it Willis? Odds are I would say it's one of those two guys. And I'll help fortify your offensive line. I can't look at that pick and tell you, bad pick. I can't. Because there is a need for the Giants on that side of the ball. However, They've been far weaker on defense the last 2 years. And they have not had a top-notch star linebacker in a long, long time. I mean, their last Pro Bowl linebacker, you got to go back to what? Antonio Pierce? And when you think about the Giant defense being the Giant defense, not only do you think of a dominant pass rush, you think of some linebackers who can make plays. From the 80s crew, which was, you know, all world with LT and Harry Carson and our buddy Carl Banks. Or you think about a Jesse Armstead. Or you think about an Antonio Pierce. Giants have been a team over the years, when they're right defensively, they got a linebacker or two. And Simmons, to me, is like the perfect physical freak in the modern age to put on your defense. That's the guy I'm taking. Giants are not going to do that. So I'm resigned to the fact that they're going to take an offensive tackle. But it will help them if they put the right guy. And that's going to be important now. Forever now, these four tackles, much like Herbert and Tua, and I guess Jordan Love and Joe Burrow, all four of the quarterbacks, you're in the same crop. You're always going to be compared to one another. The offensive tackles will be in that boat too, because there's going to be a run on tackles. We know there are a ton of teams interested, the Giants being a team. Teams at the back half of the 7, 8, 9 range might be looking. The Jets are clearly looking for an offensive tackle. And if you end up going with the wrong guy, it'll only enhance the legacy of incompetence that right now Dave Gettleman has developed. Where he's been so-so in the draft. He's had some good drafts. He's had some bad drafts as far as individual picks. But the philosophy for Dave Gettleman and what he tried to do with the New York Giants 2 years ago was an absolute joke. And nobody loves Saquon Barkley more than me, but nobody will sit here and tell you over and over again how wrong and how much of a mistake it was for a team that wasn't close to being a win-now team to go and take a running back at two. It's just not the proper way to run a franchise. It's just not. Period, end of story. But what's done is done. Giants will end up with a tackle. The question is, does Miami trade up and get the guy the Giants want? I guess we'll have to wait and see who the number one guy is on their board. And the problem with if Miami ends up trading up and getting the guy at three, let's say for argument's sake, they take Andrew Thomas. Let's just say they have Andrew Thomas as the number one offensive tackle on their board. The Giants will sit there and tell you, four, hey, we took our guy. We took the guy's best player available. So you got to take a little bit of this with a grain of salt. You do. When people and, you know, teams say, well, we got our number one guy. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But fully expect the Giants to take a tackle. There may be a last-ditch effort, maybe, to try to trade down. And to me, that could work to your advantage. If the Dolphins get up to three and keep their pick at five. See, then I think if you're the Giants, you could be in a great spot where you say, hey, guess what? You're going to jump in front of me, take the tackle I want? Well, we're going to hurt you now. And we're going to let the LA Chargers dictate the action and what quarterback they're going to take. And that's, of course, assuming the Giants are willing to trade down. And that, of course, is assuming the Chargers are willing to trade up. But there are so many different possibilities. All four of those linemen could be employed for the Giants. What the Dolphins may do at five or at three, we'll get into what the Jet board could be looking at. And the Jet board is going to be very contingent on who is available. Because I do believe, as I've said over and over again, if one of the four tackles is there for the New York Jets, they will scoop one of the four tackles. They will look to fortify the offensive line. They will look to build that strength. And then they'll go get their receivers later on. However, if all four of the tackles are gone, what then for Joe Douglas? Best receiver on the board? Looking to trade down? All of these hypotheticals, all of these questions, they're finally going to be answered. And who knows what's coming next. But you know what the next 2 days, from a sports standpoint, buckle up. It's actually going to be a whole lot of fun.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.